Well, Chokra is very busy at the moment at doing advocacy with the Irish government and working with our colleagues across Europe and across the world to try and influence the outcomes of the UN summit, the UN FCCC summit, which is taking place in Paris from the 28th of November until the 13th of December. It's a really important summit, this one, because it's going to decide on the successor agreement to the Kyoto Protocol on climate change. People might remember that in the early 1990s, most world governments signed a binding international treaty to reduce carbon emissions, and it was called the Kyoto Protocol. That is due to expire in 2020, and the UN agreement in Paris in December has to decide on a binding agreement to reduce climate emissions from the period 2020 up to the middle of the century.
But will it be any more successful than the Kyoto Agreement? Because there were a lot of difficulties with the Kyoto Agreement in the sense that countries maybe signed up to the agreement, but they didn't really abide by the regulations that were within the agreement.
We are hoping that it will be more successful than the Kyoto Protocol. Under Kyoto, global climate emissions have actually risen by 16%. But a big part of that is the fact that key players, such as the United States, were not part of that agreement. So the priority under the new agreement has been to make sure that we can include everybody, because the key emitters need to be in this agreement. That has created some difficulties, and it's meant that this agreement's continuously been delayed. It was meant to be agreed in 2010 in Copenhagen, or the end of 2009. But bringing those big players on board has been problematic. But I think we're getting to a point now where there is a groundswell of public opinion. I think the Pope's encyclical certainly helped. But there's an acknowledgement, and also people are beginning to see that the effects of climate change are real and they're happening. And this is certainly what Chokra has been saying and we've been seeing across the world. And then there are positive signs that big players, such as the United States, are starting to take this seriously. Last week, President Obama, for example, took, as far as I'm concerned, the first major decision to cancel an infrastructure project on climate grounds. So the Keystone Pipeline, which was going to be a huge investment in fossil fuels for the next generation, has now been cancelled as a result of public campaigning. That's a huge achievement. And I think it's those kind of things, also the divestment movement, calling on people to divest their futures from fossil fuels, has gained so much traction over the past year. So there are some really positive signs, but of course we can't be complacent and a lot more needs to be done.
I mean, how do you bring the sort of the will? I mean, you're talking there about the mood, and there is a huge amount of support for doing something about climate change. But then when you actually try to get people to do things or get countries or companies to actually implement things, they can be very slow.
I think we need to change our mindset. That's the first thing we need to do. And we need to think of this as a challenge, not just for individuals. Because we all remember, for example, the plastic bags issue or the smoking indoors issue. We need support from our political leaders, our governments, in order to create the environment where changes can take place. Just today I heard, for example, that the state of California has banned the use of plastic bottles. That's a phenomenal change on environmental grounds. I'm sure it will be challenged by the big corporations. But from now on, in California, they'll no longer be able to use plastic bottles. So the individual concern, I would say, yes, we can all do individual actions. And they're really important. The Pope says that we never have to stop believing that our individual actions done out of concern for the earth are important. They are really important. But if we really care, we have to translate that personal concern into political action. Because we are lucky enough in this country, we might give out about the flaws of our political system, but we live in a democracy. We are the ones who actually elect our representatives. Now, I just challenge all of us to say, when was the last time you raised climate change on the doorstep with your political representatives? When's the last time we went into their clinics and said, do you know, I'm really concerned about my children's future and what future they'll have if we don't address climate change? I think that that's the next step we need to take. We need to stop being scared to raise this issue with our political leadership and also with our church leadership, because we have this huge mandate now from Pope Francis to look at our own church, to look at our own parishes, our diocese. Where's the money in our diocese invested? How are we dealing with our banks? Are we happy that they might be investing the money from our diocese in fossil fuels, for example? There are lots of things that can be done to promote leadership and to raise this as an issue also politically and also within the church.
You're mentioning the church there, and you mentioned previously Laudato Si, and that has been a bit of a game changer, I think, in terms of how the church looks at climate change, because previously climate change wasn't really a moral issue, wasn't really on the agenda. But Pope Francis has come out very strongly now saying it is a moral issue, it is on the Christian agenda.
Absolutely. I think that Laudato Si is really one of the most important church documents of our generation, if not the most important, in a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that it's very readable and it's very accessible to the public. But what Pope Francis really gets to is this notion that's been at the heart of kind of Christian tradition for a while, that somehow we own the earth and that we can therefore dominate the earth. It's in a certain interpretation of Genesis that we have to go out and conquer the earth. And he says, hold on, wait a minute. That has been misinterpreted for centuries. And it gave rise to a notion of industrialization that is perhaps skewed. We actually need to be caretakers of the earth. And there's a beautiful kind of reflection within Laudato Si, where he says that the image of God is not just reflected in human beings, it's reflected in every creature on this planet. So the wonderful earth, the wonderful world that he has created for us as our home, is also a reflection of God himself. So anything we do to diminish that earth, so to any actions we take to abuse the earth, is also an abuse of God. So, I mean, it's a very profound reflection. It's almost cosmological reflection on how we understand God and how we understand our place in the world, in the universe. And above all, it causes us, certainly in my own life after reading Laudato Si, it caused me really to reflect deeply on my relationship with the earth. So when it's by no accident that Pope Francis calls this Laudato Si, praise be to you, because he is saying that our attitude towards the earth has to be one of praise. So our first attitude, like Saint Francis, hasn't to be to look at things in the earth objectively and say, well, how could I use that? How could that be useful to me? It has to be one of almost awe, like a child. Like I often look at my own children and how if you take them into a forest, yes, they look and pick up sticks and look at how they can use stuff, but they're in absolute awe of this amazing earth that we have. And recapturing that, whether it's through art, whether it's through music, whether it's through investing our time in being in the natural environment, it's about recapturing that almost mystical sense of our relationship with the planet and how we use it. If we started with that individually, as a community, as institutions, that would lead us to a different whole system of how we consider our economies, our societies. And there's lots of that already going on. We don't have to look too far. The slow food movement is one example. The kind of buy locally, in some ways the organic movement around looking at how we conserve our earth. The whole movement towards sharing economies, so looking at how we can share in our local communities what we have, rather than assuming I don't have a lawnmower, I need to go out and buy one. Why don't we create some kind of system locally where we can share what we're not using all the time? So these are kind of, they're seeds of a different economy, a different way of doing things that are respectful of our environment.
And if people want to get involved in your rally or get involved with the work that you're going to be doing as part of the Climate Change Summit, how would they get involved?
So the big climate rally in Ireland, there are three rallies taking place in Cork, Belfast and in Dublin on the 29th of November. The rallying point in Dublin is at 2 p.m. outside the Custom House. Information on the rallying points for the other marches can be found on Trocra's website, www.trocra.org, and you click on the Climate Justice page for more information.